Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
From iPhone to our phone.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Why fight when you can share? That seems to be what Apple and Cisco Systems have decided when it comes to the iPhone. Cisco owned the name, which it uses for a different product. So it sued Apple when the computer company unveiled its iPhone last month. Now they've decided to share the name. So when you say, I want an iPhone, you'll need to be clear about which product you're talking about. Both companies have agreed to look for ways the two devices can work together. On Wall Street yesterday, the glass was either half empty or half full, depending upon whether you were holding blue chip or tech stocks. The Dow gave up 48 points, closing at 12,738. The Nasdaq added 5 points to 2518. The S&P lost 2 points to 1457. But in Tokyo today, the Nikkei soared 195 points. The price of oil has eased up a bit, but it's still hovering near $60. There's concern about the closure of a TEPCO pipeline in the Northeast due to an oil spill. The company says it should be repaired by Saturday. Right now, U.S. crude is at $59.85 a barrel. Oil-rich Venezuela is running low on basic foods like powdered milk. The shortages are caused by government price controls, making it unprofitable to produce the goods locally. Venezuela refuses to lift the controls. Instead, it's just signed an unusual deal with its ally, Argentina. From the America's Desk at WLRN, Dan Gretsch has the story.
Argentina's second biggest dairy producer, Sancor, never recovered financially from the nation's 2001 economic crisis. Venezuela will loan the ailing company $135 million. In exchange, Sancor will supply Venezuela with much-needed powdered milk for 12 years. Eurasia Group analyst Daniel Kerner says before Venezuela stepped in, Sancor planned to sell itself to a foreign investment firm controlled by financier George Soros. That would have soured Argentine voters going into October's presidential election.
Sancor is very much seen by most voters as an integral part of the Argentine economy, and certainly this would have negative effects for the government if it would fall under the hands of foreigners.
Kerner says the deal also highlights the close bond between two South American nations that resist U.S. free market policies. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Next week, Congress is expected to take up President Bush's 2008 budget. Yesterday, the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities says that budget would make deep cuts in education, environmental protection, and law enforcement. The conventional wisdom is the budget is dead on arrival because Congress won't pass it. Although there are reasons to be critical, commentator Glenn Hubbard thinks the budget plan does have some good ideas.
The president proposes to do what looks like the impossible. He wants to balance the budget by 2012 while increasing military spending and making his tax cuts permanent. How? In part, the alternative minimum tax will swallow more and more Americans. That'll cancel many tax cuts. And the administration's tax revenue assumptions are a tad optimistic given the economic forecast. Still, it would be a mistake not to crack open and scrutinize the charts and statistics of the four-volume budget. The 2008 budget is now much clearer about the cost of military and homeland security spending. For the first time, a complete tally of the cost of the war on terror is being presented up front, $145 billion for 2008 for the conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan. And the administration is explicit about wanting future increases in military spending. But every increase demands a decrease. Many in the Congress will flinch at the president's proposals to reduce future spending on entitlement programs. But those programs account almost completely for the fiscal imbalance of the coming decades. The budget proposes to ask high-income seniors to pay more for their Medicare coverage, and it would trim slightly automatic inflation adjustments. Over the next 75 years, those reforms would reduce Medicare's unfunded liabilities by $8 trillion, the good news, out of a total of $32 trillion, the bad news. It's time for an honest fiscal conversation. The challenge is spending, and entitlement spending in particular. The president's budget poses a challenging question. Can we restore fiscal discipline without damaging economic growth with higher taxes? And can we place a bigger burden of the spending adjustment on higher income individuals? The answer is yes.
Glenn Hubbard is a former head of President Bush's Council of Economic Advisors and dean of Columbia's Graduate School of Business. $8.8 million. That's the size of the bonus Jim Skinner will receive. He's a chief executive for McDonald's. The bonus is largely a reward for the sharp turnaround of the hamburger chain over the last 3 years. Skinner will get a $3.5 million bonus for last year and a $5.3 million payout under a three-year performance reward program. And all of that is on top of his regular salary.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. More at ThriveQ.com. By Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by A.G. Edwards, caring for nest eggs for more than 120 years, with a commitment to provide objective financial advice.
The tax season is almost here, sorry. But if you've begun rifling through your 1040 forms, you might want to know that something's missing. There are a couple of lines for some key deductions that won't be on the form. You can blame Congress and a printer's deadline. Brian Bull fills in those blanks for you.
The missing lines are for deductions related to states and local sales taxes and higher education costs. The deductions were set to expire last year unless Congress acted. By the time Congress did act, the IRS had already published millions of 1040s without the lines. The omission means billions of dollars worth of tax benefits may slip by filers this year. Sarah Turner of the National Association of Tax Professionals says you can visit the IRS's website to learn how to file for them. And this goes for people using tax software as well.
Unless you've been diligent about doing all the updates, not only these items, but other updates could be lost and you could be doing your return incorrectly.
Taxpayers who are particularly vulnerable here are first-time filers who aren't used to listing the deductions on their 1040. In Madison, Wisconsin, I'm Brian Bull for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.